Time now for the player of the game on the Dan Quinn Coaches Show. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back. Dan Quinn Coaches Show continues on a Monday from Flowery Branch with Dave Archer, West Urban. And our player spotlight today is Grady Jarrett. Local fella done good, as they say. Boy, it's nice to come away with the W yesterday, wasn't it, man?
Oh, man, it felt good to finally, you know, get another win. That slide we've been on, been rough, especially, you know, around here. We expect to win, want to win, and it's been a tough for us. But to get a win, it felt really good.
Great. I think everybody's proud of you, the way you play and how hard you play. You know, we were talking about before we came on. I think it's admirable how hard you've been playing. But I want to talk about something that's kind of near and dear to your heart as well. You were named NFL Man of the Year representative for the Atlanta Falcons, Walter Payton Man of the Year. That's a big deal.
Yes,
and especially with this organization, because this organization is in the front of taking care of the public, and you're that guy. You're that point guy. How does that make you feel?
Absolutely, man. It felt good, you know, to be able to recognize as Man of the Year. But, you know, like I said, you know, doing things in the community and, I guess, being a role model for kids, being somebody that, you know, can be a stand-up man off the field, you know, that's not why you do things to get awards. It's kind of a byproduct of just, you know, just being who I am and trying to help other people and make other people's lives better. So it was definitely feels good to be recognized, though.
Grady, do you remember being a kid and being inspired by somebody like you now when you were young growing up?
As far as
I don't know who influenced you when you were like there, you know, maybe it was somebody that came to visit school, somebody at camps, things like that. I mean, do you have a sense of that now as you've grown older and gotten in this position of how important that is?
Yeah. I just always kind of been real observant, you know, and I'll say from a football standpoint, Ray Lewis was a big somebody I looked up to because he was, you know, real close to my family. You know, he was the best at what he did, and I spent some good quality time with him. And just being around certain people that's been at the highest of doing things, Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, guys like that. As a young boy, you learn from the best, and so it's like you know, when you go through things, sometimes with some people, you got to realize, like, maybe this person, not what he's talking about. So it's like me learning from the best, I didn't have to go. I can call the best. You know what I'm saying? So it's not like I had to get bad advice from somebody who thinking they're telling me right when they're really not. So, and I've been blessed to have a really great family. My mother's my biggest inspiration. And, you know, how hard work she is. And she just always, you know, always tell us, like, always be fortunate. You always got to treat people right. And, you know, it definitely stuck. But as far as just being observant and, you know, seeing where people need help and having a gift, I guess, to connect with people, is something that I have.
It's that man in the middle with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, our player spotlight, Grady Jarrett. You shall not pass. You hear me say it many times when Grady makes a stop, and that's fairly often in a game. Grady, with the losses, and even you were banged up some this year, that's been tough for you guys on this side of the ball. Let's talk about your defensive side of the football and how you guys have kind of tried to fight and persevere to try to put a good product on the field.
Yeah, you said it, man. We've been fighting and persevering, you know, had a lot of injuries early. And, you know, been from, you know, big-time guys, big-time players for our team. And it's been hard, you know, trying to rebound from that. But, you know, we didn't have any excuses. We kind of just went back to work. It was rough at first, but as it got going, you know, guys started playing better and getting more used to playing with each other. You can see KZ having a whole bunch of interceptions, stepping up in that role. And it's just guys like he's just kind of mine, but it's other guys that step up and got better as it went on. Jordan Richards got a lot better from when he first got here. So, I mean, it's a lot of guys stepping up. You got Steven Means coming in making big plays. You know what I'm saying? So we got guys that's coming up making big plays, but, you know, when you take that first knock early in the season, you lose guys like Kiki, Debo, Rico. I mean, they some of the best in the league at what they do. And we'd be kidding ourselves if we say that we can just get past that or just that don't make a, you know, a difference. And then I was out two games. Tack was out a game. I mean, it was just unfortunate, but there's no excuse. We just got to keep going to work and try to finish this thing off the best we can.
So what's the silver lining? Because there has to be something that even though frustration, disappointment, things like that, there has to be something you're going to take from 2018 and apply it to 19, apply it to the offseason. Mm-hmm. What is it for Grady Jarrett at this point, or do you know?
I mean, everything happens for a reason, you know, and I always feel like some things for me is a test of faith, you know, and you know, how, when circumstances are bad, are you going to fold, you know, or are you going to keep going? My thing is, thing for me is I control the controllables. I know I can control my effort every time I'm out there. I know I can control my preparation. I can't control the outcome of the game, but my influence and my preparation, things I can control, can't have an effect on the outcome. But, I mean, for me personally, it's just trying to go out there and put the best product I can week in and week out. And, yeah, we love to win, and everything I do is try to win, bring wins to this organization. But I got to be the best version of me to do that. So, you know, kind of just controlling the controllables, trying to lead other guys and help them become the best them they can. And from whenever they're willing to hear from me or whatever, I mean, you know, I'm here to serve, you know, my teammates, man. So, I mean, it's a control of the controllables.
Well, what he controlled yesterday was the line of scrimmage, and it wasn't just in the run game. It was after getting after the passer. Two sacks yesterday for Big Grady Jarrett on this defensive front. Seven sacks yesterday, Grady, for you guys. I know you're proud of that. Do you guys sense when you get a couple, does it become blood in the water a little bit for you when you start getting after the
passer? Oh, man, yeah. It's awesome. It's a great feeling. And you see guys getting excited for each other, and it just make you want to do more and just get more. So, I mean, if you said it's like blood in the water. Like, you get that one, you get two, like, all right, you get that third one. Then everybody like, come on, let's get it. You know what I'm saying? Then I was like, I get my first one kind of early. So I was like, I want to get some more. You know, it's like the fourth quarter, you know, I get my one in the fourth quarter. You know, if I'm thinking, if I'm in chill mode, you know, not hunting, I'm not going to get that second one, you know? So it's like, it got to be blood in the water.
Can you tell when a QB, when you've gotten to a QB in his head? Because it clearly looked like you had taken him completely out of his game.
Yeah, absolutely. When quarterbacks don't like getting hurt, especially a young one. So when he got hit a couple times, rattled up, showed some couple different pressures, you definitely could tell in their mannerisms, you know, how fast they're getting rid of the ball now, or if they just kind of, you know, just kind of going down. You know?
I always sense when those eyes come down out of the secondary and they start to get you guys. Right?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's good for everybody. It's good for everybody when you get to the quarterback.
I want to get back to this. Cute quarterbacks don't like going down. Is that what we said?
Cute quarterbacks.
Did you say cute quarterbacks?
No, young.
Oh,
I
young quarterbacks.
No, young quarterbacks.
Okay.
Especially young guys. Yeah. No.
I was getting ready to say, like, yeah, you know, young guys who haven't been in the game much. I was thinking, wait a second.
Come on, I don't know where that came from.
You know what I mean. All right, Grady Jarrett's with us. When you think about guys like Steven Means getting sacks and you and Tack and everybody else, the collective mindset of this defense, even though this year hasn't gone the way you wanted it to, the collective mindset of this defense has never changed, right?
I mean, no. I mean, we don't want to give up. We don't want to struggle. It's not like we're doing it on purpose. You know, it's just kind of – going through – we're working with it. You know, just trying to get over a hump, and we just got to take it week by week. You know, we made a step in the right direction this week, and even we got two games left, we're still trying to find out where we can get better. And they've been that way every week, you know, whether we had a good performance or bad performance. We always, you know, peel back that Band-Aid and try to figure out where we can get better at. So I feel like everything, you know, happened for a reason. Like, it's a process, you know. You got to stay in the moment. Like, everything is all going to be good to come from your struggle. Like, whether that's in football, life, whatever, you got to believe that and know that. So you got to just trust the process and keep going. Like, you don't let circumstances hold you back.
You guys have heated up the passer pretty good the last couple of weeks. Probably could have had 8 or 9 sacks a week ago against Rodgers as well. Okay, got a different beast in the building, or you're going to go to his building. Mm-hmm. What mindset changes with the big guy playing quarterback for Carolina?
You know, just got to be physical, man. And he's a guy that is really, really athletic, and he's really strong. So you got to finish him. You got to finish when you're trying to make plays on him, making sacks. Sacks that I've had on him, it's been like finish plays. And the multiple ones that I've missed on him is like any other quarterback probably would have went down. Like, so he's really strong in the lower body. He does a really good job of knowing where his guys are, so when, you know, he is getting tackled to the ground or something like that, he can just get the ball out. So, I mean, he's been doing a good job for them for a long time. It's the reason why they like him so much.
Real quick, you watch the game tonight? Take a watch at it?
You know, I always watch the Monday night games, you know.
So, everybody does, right?
Yeah, just for a little while. You know, I don't sit there and study the whole thing. I like to watch the film, but I enjoy watching Monday night football.
Let me tell you something, Grady. As a former player, I admire how hard you're playing. There's obviously a lot on the line for you coming up after the season's over.
Yeah, without
a doubt. And with that being said, you're out there balling out. I appreciate that.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Grady, great to have you with us. Thanks, man.
Every time.
Tigers
thank you guys.
Tigers on the 29th. Feel good, right?
Yes, sir. Let's get it.
All right. Stay tuned. More Dukes and Bell coming up from Flowery Branch after this on 92.9 The Game.
Hey, thanks, Wes Drewham. Again, guys, got a late start up there with the Coach's Show, so that is part of our Falcon Report brought to you by our buddies at Domino's. Right now, there's a great deal. Large three-topping pizzas, $7.99, and those deep-dish pan pizzas you love, mediums for $7.99 with three toppings as well. Get all the details when you go to Domino's.com. They bring you the Falcon Report. Always great to catch up with Grady, one of my favorite Falcons, and we were talking about this earlier. Hope we get the deal done. And, again, put another big hombre next to him next year, whether in the draft or through free agency. But don't want to lose number 97. We got plenty to talk about, guys. More on the Falcons. It's been a bittersweet kind of vibe. Best way to describe it. Because if you're like me, you want to see the home team win. I mean, I don't spend the money. Rolled down there on MARTA, and there was a lot of fans out there. We all looked at each other at the Midtown Station yesterday like, well, we got the tickets. We got to go. But you win the game. People obsessing over draft picks. So many variables, guys. And our general manager has shown the willingness to trade up anyway, so don't sweat that. If there's a guy they really want, wherever we wind up is not going to jack it up. We'll come back. We'll talk about the big story. Speaking of jacking things up, MLS tweaks the playoff format. Ramifications for Atlanta United. We'll explain. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. You just heard from Dan Quinn, the Coach's Show with Wes Drewham. I said Wes Drewham.
I'm sorry. I was talking to Craig about I haven't heard this song in a minute.
Yeah, it's been a while, man. Happy Monday. Falcons win yesterday. We're going to talk about what it meant. Also, Mike Conte is going to join us for a conversation about the new rules that came down for MLS today, which is a big deal and a part of our big story. But first, let's talk about what we learned yesterday. And I said today on Twitter, and we invite you to follow us, guys, all social media platforms, 929 The Game. He is Mike Bell, ATL. I'm going to put him up. See Dukes in the radio show, Dukes and Bell, 929. I said, what did we learn? And people were like, huh?
What?
Huh? What did this win do?
Well, we've been doing a lot of stuff, and it started with the Packers game, throwing a lot of stuff up on the wall, if you will, and seeing what sticks on both offense and defensive side. So, you know, I, for one, I'm happy, as I said, to see the Falcons win a home game. And the draft is months away. People are obsessing. We lost a draft position. Well, if there's really a guy we like, Thomas has shown the ability to go up in the draft and get the guy anyway, so don't sweat that. But right now, by the way, you go to Mike Bell ATL, as Carl mentioned us on Twitter, 71% of our audience says, too little, too late. And 29% say, hey, just happy to get a W. And what a W it was. You saw the home team drop 40 on a very bad Cardinals team.
Yeah, there were a lot of things, obviously, Dan Quinn can say, all right, there were positives coming out of this game. But the theme of today, for me, as we look back at this season now, and I don't know how the season finishes. Maybe we went out, you know, against Carolina and Tampa. Maybe we don't. But where was this? Where was the corner blitz earlier in the season when the season was on the line and we needed it? Where was the quarterback sneak that we saw yesterday? Where was the tempo that we saw early in this game that kind of got the offense going? Guys, we ran the ball unbelievable yesterday. 215 total yards. Coleman had 145 of them on 27 attempts. That means you didn't go away from the run game. Now, I know they were a bad run football stop team, you know, as far as defending the run. One of the worst in the NFL. But the fact is we played other teams that were not good at stopping the run, and we went away from it. So, you know, we played a clean game for the most part. We got turnovers. But at the end of the day, some of the things that we've scratched our heads about all season, Mike, showed up yesterday.
Now, whether this was a byproduct of just how bad the Cardinals' defense and their offensive line was, that you felt that, hey, you're going to have success in the run game, that Dan Quinn talked about a wrinkle that they had. Again, where was that wrinkle, to your point? You know, when we're looking to get the run game on once Devontae went down. You know, what's up with the package of the blitzes? Is it only because you feel that Josh Rosen is going to pat the ball and sit there for you for 5 seconds, which is what he did?
Yeah.
So I'm not trying to devalue seven sacks. I'm just happy to see it. Most of us Falcon fans that were in attendance were like, wow, where's this coming from? You can't lock in and say, well, this means that Vic Beasley should get a cut. No. Big picture. It's the totality of the 16 games. Now, two more games for guys to show out, show what they're all about. But as you said, it is too little, too late for most Falcon fans.
The example I gave earlier, and then we're going to jump into the big story, and we'll continue to talk about the Falcons into the 6 o'clock hour, was very simple. If you're late for your job every day, late, 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 and then you show up on time.
Why are you
day,
looking at Craig?
And the boss goes, you're on time. This is great. You don't get judged by being on time one day. And the Falcons are not going to be judged by getting a win against the Cardinals on one Sunday. This is about the entire season. And don't get caught up in seeing guys have great performances and you go, man, Coleman, $1.45 yesterday, Dukes and Bell. This guy's got to stay. Don't be fooled. We can't see just in the moment. This season and how it's played out has a lot of us still scratching our heads. With that, let's get to the big story.
The big story. On your radio.
Guess what time it is?
Now, it's time for the big story.
Listen to this.
On Dukes and Bell.
I'm not going to fault you, Craig. I know you're dealing with the new system in there. Mike Conte in studio with us.
And we wanted to bring in our man, Mike Conte, because he is the voice of our Atlanta United champions. We are. Mike and I brought this up earlier, guys, and if you missed it, we wanted to bring Conte into the conversation and get your thoughts on this. I think it's great. Mike thinks it's great. But if you've not heard, the new MLS playoff format structure for 2019, guys, single elimination with the higher seed getting home field. What are your thoughts?
Well, I understand why they're doing it. They're trying to make the season a little bit shorter, trying to end the postseason before that November international break. And in some ways, that makes a lot of sense. You know, Atlanta United goes right into the playoffs, plays two matches against New York City, and then everything stops for 10 days. And then you go back into it, and you take out Red Bulls, and then you win the MLS Cup. Well, this way now you get everything done before that international break. That's going to be especially important in 2022 because the World Cup is going to be in November and December because they're playing it in Qatar and they're worried about weather and all of that. So it's kind of a preemptive move to get ready for that, to make the season shorter. The season is way too long.
Mm-hmm.
Atlanta United played their first preseason match last year on February 10th and MLS Cup on December 8th. That is a 10-month season, not including training camp. Now, some people, including myself, are a little bit queasy about this because you're going all single elimination now in the postseason, okay? Only one team gets a bye, that's the number one seed. There will no longer be a reseed, okay? So if you're the number one seed, you're going to play the winner of the 4-5 match no matter what. If the number seven seed upsets number two, they don't play number one. That's a significant change.
Okay.
And in my opinion, for a growing league that obviously had a lot of fan support during its postseason, to move to a model where you could be playing fewer home games, I don't like it. If you're the number five seed in the East, you can go all the way to the MLS Cup final now without playing a single home match. I don't like that. I think if you want to be a big league, play more playoff games. But I do understand the concern about getting everything done earlier.
Now, we talked a lot about the aggregate score and the two-leg stage, and that confused the casual fan. You know, if you follow Champions League, you're familiar with it. But here's the thing, and Mike Conte joins us, guys, the big story, MLS going to single elimination. But basically what you see in the NFL are going to have an MLS. We would have played New York City here, and we would have gone to Red Bulls. And the question I asked Carl, I'll ask you again. Would the Red Bulls have done that crazy tactical style as opposed to their pressing style?
No.
They just pressed us at home?
They just would have played their game. They would have pressed at home, probably gotten a result, and keep it moving.
So they would have grinded. We would have gone, best case, we might have gone to PKs, or they might have beaten us.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, this is going to make it harder for everyone, not just Atlanta United. It's going to make it harder for everyone to get to the MLS Cup final. But I think we're burying the lead a little bit because the playoff changes, that's significant. But this is part of a dramatic compression of the MLS regular season schedule.
Which is long.
It's long.
Yeah.
You're going to still start the first weekend of March. You're now going to end the first weekend of October. So basically, you've plucked 3 weeks out of the regular season. What are you going to do with those games? You're going to play more Wednesday night games. And here's what concerns me. It's kind of twofold. Number one, Atlanta United's now in the CONCACAF Champions League. They won MLS Cup, so they're going to play in the Campione's Cup. They're going to play U.S. Open Cup. So you're going to have a ton of midweek matches already with those three, you know, events. Now you're going to play more MLS midweek matches on top of it. It's going to be a real test of Atlanta United's depth, and it concerns me. The other thing that concerns me is Atlanta United draws really, really well. Okay, so does Portland, so does Seattle. There are a couple clubs that draw really, really well. I would hate to see MLS stick us with all the Wednesday night games because they know we're going to fill Mercedes-Benz Stadium no matter what. Not saying that will happen.
Yeah, it's a great point.
But that's a concern.
It's a great point.
That's a huge concern.
Mike, and not to mention, you said we've got depth, right? You know, obviously, as you guys know, Garza went, but we've got so many guys in the pipeline. We talked about all the pieces that are there. Hearing the way Mike's laid this out for me, I really hope that nobody comes at us heavy for Miggy. You know what I mean? I want to see some nice depth where we got Tito and Miggy and Barco and Pitty and everybody else.
Well, I think you have to be a little bit realistic about, I mean, if the numbers being thrown out there are true, that's going to be tough
still,
to say no to.
This is a grind, man.
No, I'm with you. And it's going to be a real test of Atlanta United's depth. And you're right. Atlanta United has depth, and it's going to be exciting to see a lot of the younger guys play meaningful matches. Totally agree with all that. I'm selfish. I want my first team lineup every game, whether it be U.S. Open Cup or CONCACAF Champions League or MLS or whatever. It's going to make it harder to play a first-choice lineup for every single match now. And if you suffer an injury, Like this year, Atlanta United
got lucky,
won it all.
Yeah.
Despite Nagbe being out for a while, Garza being out for a while, they were really tested with injuries. When you play more midweek matches like that, you know, it becomes almost too much. And that's something that I'm very, very concerned about for next year.
It is the voice of our Atlanta United, Mike Conte, joining us here on Dukes and Bell. Guys, again, the news coming from MLS that they adopt a new playoff structure. But as Mike is laying out, there's a lot more to it. Here's the question, I think, for MLS, and you said it, a league that's growing in our country. Does this create more interest?
Well, I'll tell you what it does. It's going to make it easier for the television networks to create compelling drama for every single match.
And that is a big part of growing the sport.
No doubt. And that's a huge source of revenue for this league. They finally get money now on their TV contract. That's very, very significant. And I think Mike's point is well taken. A lot of casual fans did not understand the aggregate scoring system. This makes it a lot simpler now. Works for the NFL to have single elimination. But you're also adding playoff teams now. You're going to have 14 clubs make the playoffs next year out of 23.
That's 60% of the league making the postseason.
You
and I were talking about this off the air. I hate the fact that the NBA and the NHL rewards mediocrity. And you're really doing it here. Although last year, or in this season, that would have put Zlatan on the Galaxy,
right,
you mentioned earlier.
And Montreal, who was kind of peaking at the end. So, I mean, in this case, this year, yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing Montreal and LA Galaxy make the playoffs. But I think you could have other years where that could be a real bust. So, look, I understand why they're doing it. They're very worried about the weather. This will make for better weather in the postseason. If you have an outdoor MLS Cup final the first weekend of November in Minnesota, maybe now you can get away with doing that. You couldn't if it were in December. So I understand all the reasons. I'm just concerned about it because it's going to put a tremendous amount of strain not only on Atlanta United, Sporting Kansas City, Toronto, New York Red Bulls, Houston Dynamo, the MLS clubs that are in that are in CONCACAF Champions League next year. It's going to be a real grind for them.
It's a valid point, guys. It is a big rule change on many levels. But, you know, for MLS fans and certainly United fans saying today, all right, guys, Dukes and Bell, I hear you. Mike Conte, I hear what you're saying. How does this affect us? How would it have affected us this season?
Just as Mike said, you would not have had a home match in the Eastern Conference Final. You would have played a one-game winner-take-all at Red Bull Arena, where Atlanta United did not win even in this postseason.
Right.
They lost 1-0. Would have made the path that much tougher. It also would have dramatically incentivized winning the supporters' shield
Big
for
time.
Atlanta United.
Yep.
Because if you get that number one seed, you're hosting all the way through.
Right.
And so it goes both ways.
I mean, the New York City win at Yankee Stadium was the one described as transformative. Really
yes.
got things cooking.
Yes.
Everybody to a man. Even Gressel just told us last week that was the game. So, yeah, it's interesting. It's nothing to do with us, right? Because we thought it was about us.
No, this has been in the works for a while.
It's not like it's anti-United because we made the Red Bulls look bad again.
No. Hey, listen, MLS should be embracing everything that we're doing here.
Exactly.
In Atlanta. I mean, it is a gift to MLS.
To your point, embracing it almost to the point where we're a little bit afraid now. He's right. Mike is right. Listen, if you're putting the product on TV, you want people there. You want the numbers to show up. You come to Atlanta to do that. And that's a big question mark. I'm curious to see.
5,000 people at New England on a Wednesday night doesn't look good on TV,
no.
Mike.
And again, if you're Atlanta United, you're putting everything into winning CONCACAF. Maybe you lose a couple MLS matches. Now you're the four seed. You might not have a home game at the Benz.
So this really makes the U.S. Open Cup meaningless.
Hey.
I won't put words in your mouth, but I'm just saying, we started the backups.
Hey.
Tata, we talked all about hardware, and we went with a backup squad. Remember, we played the Fire here?
I do.
So on big picture, I want more of these MLS championships. U.S. Open Cup,
Mike Conte is going to stick around. We've got it in case you missed it. We're switching gears. It's Monday. We're about to have some fun with some fun stories.
Talk about Mike's party.
Yes, please.
What? I'm very busy right now.
Hey, man.
It's time now for In Case You Missed It with Mike Conte.
Good news for you.
Right here on Dukes and Bell.
Hey, guys, a quick thing I want you to know about. If you want to win a pair of tickets to the Super Bowl experience, it's the Super Bowl experience at the Georgia World Congress Center. Make sure you stay tuned, guys. We've got a pair of tickets for you. When you hear the sounder, be the first caller, and we're going to get you squared away. But it's really cool, and it's one of those things, again, if you don't know what's going on in and around town, around the Super Bowl experience is something that's interactive for the kids. You can take photos with the Vince Lombardi Trophy, play like a pro, experience interactive games. We've seen it, Mike and I, at various Super Bowls we've been to over the years, and now it's coming to the ATL. So we've got a pair of tickets for you on the way. Real quick before we get to Mike Conte, injury update today for our Falcons.
Yeah, Dan Quinn in his press conference today saying that Ito Smith has got an injury, which they're going to put him on IR. So basically Ito Smith is shut down for the remaining two games. And Devontae Freeman will not practice this week, which would be hard-pressed to see him playing or practicing for the final game. No point to risk injury there. So the bad side is if you don't bring Tevin Coleman back, your two running backs projected to be, you know, your volume guys next year, both coming off the injured reserve.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a concern. And again, the decision, we need to reiterate this, Mike. The decision to sign or not sign Coleman has not been made. I know there's a notion out there about, well, you know what, he's not going to be back. You can't keep him. That decision has not been made. And Thomas Dimitroff said to us months ago that there is, he believes that they could bring back both guys. We will see. I don't know where that goes. With that, Mike Conte is in here. It's in case you missed it, guys. If you just joined us, we were talking about the MLS changes. Now we shift gears completely. Thank you for being a gracious host at the party, man.
Thank
had a great
you for
time.
Coming.
Had a great time.
I'm glad you came. I'm glad you had a good time. All of us here, Bo, Carlos, Mike mm-hmm. Bell, Carl, you were all there. Craig was the last to leave, not surprisingly.
Shocking.
That's usually how it goes. But he had company this year, Sean and Deshaun Tate, also the last to leave. But we had a good time. Mm-hmm. It was awesome seeing you guys. I think next year we're going to have to get a tent or something like that. the limits of our home are being a little bit stretched because every year we have more. I think we have like 70 or 80 people this year. Wow. So really a lot of fun. Cool to see most of our co-workers there, and now we have another Christmas party tomorrow, I think?
Yes.
Like an official
work That is
party?
Correct. Yes.
But we're on the air,
You'll get
right?
1.5 drink tickets, and you'll enjoy yourself.
Well, we can't, but we're on the air. Like, we can't even go.
No, we're going to make this party, Mike Conte. We are going.
Like, during commercial breaks, or?
Well, we'll be excluded from the shenanigans.
I guess.
We'll
wonder why
there.
Everybody shows up to your party, Mike, is because of this reason right here.
Yours has become the de facto
Christmas
station
party.
Well,
I'm not trying to compete with,
oh, it's too late for that.
It's not a competition.
Sanctioned Christmas party, or excuse me, holiday party. But yeah, whatever. Anyhow, we had fun. Glad
you
came.
Real quick, before you get the stories, those little potato things, how'd you make those? Those are yummy.
Well, I can't take credit for making anything. We got it catered.
Oh, but, you sneak. Well, those are really good.
Yeah, but
only way to go.
They're like little, what are they called? Fingerling potatoes,
yeah,
right?
The little one. Tasty.
And the middle was scooped out, and they stuffed it with Asiago cheese.
Right.
Really delicious.
I was
really
eating them like popcorn.
I know. Yeah, yeah. The problem I ran into, I forgot that at your own party, you should try to eat yourself.
Yes.
Like, not literally eat yourself, but eat.
All I remember is you with a broom. Every time I look over, something had been dropped and broken, and you were scooping it up.
Well, no, I was responsible for all the breakage. We had more breakage at this year's party than last.
More foolishness.
Mark Owens.
No, Mark Owens. Well, Mark Owens may have poisoned my...
Like a bullet in a china shop.
Well, I love Mark Owens, but I think he poisoned my two dogs because he spills a Crown and Ginger all over the kitchen. All over. And, of course, you know, Fred and Clark, the dogs. Ooh, someone dropped something. Let's go in there and investigate. I swear to God, I'm not making this up. Our two dogs were hungover all weekend. Like, guys, do you want to go for a walk?
No.
Do you want to have some breakfast?
No.
You know, they just... I really think Mark Owens poisoned my dogs with Crown Royal.
You know what they were saying? They were saying I shouldn't have had that extra Crown and Ginger.
That's right.
Well, it was crazy. When I left early in the morning, I saw them making Bloody Marys. It was really weird.
Yeah, that is amazing.
That is.
Yeah.
Struggle
with
a
lack of opposable thumbs. It's amazing how they do that. All right. You know, my dogs, occasionally they'll poop in my kitchen, and I get really upset with them. But we have this guy in Memphis over the week. I don't know if you saw this story. Tennessee and Memphis playing a college basketball game at the FedEx Forum. And there was a guy at the game. His name was Royce Thomas Lodeholtz. You know when they give you the middle name
something bad
has happened. And apparently Royce, he was arrested for indecent exposure because he defecated in front of a concession stand.
Oh my.
Now, he provided an explanation to police that sounds somewhat reasonable. I'm not defending his actions at all, but he said that he looked at the line for the men's room. He really had to go, and he did what he needed to do.
Okay.
Which
they're saying it happened on the court.
No, that is...
Oh, so that's hyperbole
that is
then.
Not correct.
Okay, sportsnet.com has men arrested for pooping on court during basketball game.
Just as you should take many things that, like the Onion report with a grain of salt. Sportsnut.com. You might want to purge that from your list of
reputable
sources. No, but it's almost worse in the way he did in front of a concession stand, which is not good. Like, that's where food comes from.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Anyhow,
and we just
is,
had
there,
that story.
Is there ever a good place to take a public poop, though? Let's be honest.
I got to be honest with you. I'm going to hold it.
You know?
I mean,
sometimes it's not possible, but.
No, I get it. But I'm not saying like a public restroom. I'm saying if you're going to do a public poop somewhere, there's no good place to do
it. A public steamer, you want to go to a nice restaurant that has a good tablecloth.
Okay,
Outback, if you're going to do it, I mean, I wouldn't do it. I mean, there's some sports bars I would probably steer away
from.
It's
my fault for even doing
what?
This.
You want some privacy. Yeah,
no, well, that's what I'm saying. There's nowhere to drop
it. We've got guys that work in this law firm here that need to get themselves checked out with a gastroenterologist, I believe, because the things that go on in our men's room.
I always go up to the 12th floor.
Best
because
place.
It's a totally vacant floor, but the restrooms are open. I call it the executive washroom.
Yeah, nobody goes up
no
there.
No one ever uses it. Yeah. It's great. It's been renovated.
Nice.
You know, you use the 9th floor restroom at your own risk.
Wait. You mean the guy with the towels is not in there when you go in there?
No, I don't tip, so he kind of runs off.
Yeah. No, he's got some great cologne selections, including Kuros.
I was just going to say, that guy is always like, what's up on the show today? I'm like, when did you get in here?
Yeah. Right.
Nothing like being at the strip club when you got the cologne dispenser. Oh, look at that. Perfect. I need some Paco Rabanne before I head back out.
I didn't know they still made English leather, but I've actually seen that in some of those men's rooms. So that's one incident that happened on a concourse at a sporting event over the weekend. The other, Friday night at the United Center, Chicago Blackhawks are playing a game. Have you seen this video? Someone jumped the Chicago Blackhawks mascot, Tommy Hawk.
Who does this?
By the way, Tommy Hawk is an outstanding name for a
mascot. No, I agree.
But someone jumped Tommy Hawk. Tommy Hawk fought back.
Went to work?
Yes. And do you remember the video of, what's his name, Roy at the airport with Pac-Man Jones?
Right. How could we forget?
Roy, right?
Oh, this guy's going after him, man.
Or Joe or whatever his name was. And Pac-Man lit him up?
Yeah.
Yeah, Tommy Hawk lit this guy up.
He freaking body slammed right there in United Center, Carl.
Right.
This guy got slammed by Tommy the Hawk.
Right. Chicago police say they were notified of a disturbance at the arena at 11:15 Friday when a man punched Tommy Hawk in the face and put him in a headlock.
Mm.
Tommy Hawk won the fight.
Nice.
I'm watching this right now. Tommy walked him all the way down the hallway.
There's no doubt about it.
He owned him.
And the most amazing part of all, Tommy Hawk remained in costume the whole time.
The mask never came off.
Headpiece thing.
Usually in a hockey fight, they tell you try to pull the sweater over the head. Tommy Hawk remained fully clothed with mask on and beat this guy's you-know-what. So power to him. It's the mascot we can all get behind.
It's actually better than the Canelo fight, Carl.
I totally agree.
Right. Yeah,
be
exactly.
Bolder.
I tell you what,
I talked to Oscar De La Hoya. I'm going to fight Tommy the Hawk.
Be bolder.
And Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, I love this, man. He worked this guy.
Yeah, man. He got after it. Now, again, initial punch, but that guy started.
He should have put that guy in a trash can is what he should have
finished
done.
It.
That's the way it was going.
Yeah, I know. I thought he was going to pick him up and put him in the trash can.
Amazingly, no one intervened. No one tried
Chicago.
To separate them.
Well, no. City of the big shoulders.
I love it.
I guess.
Mike Conti, in case you missed it, guys, coming up, we got the top three at 6. We'll let you hear from Dan Quinn what he had to say, not only about Ito going on IR, but also what he feels about his club. And we got some news in regards to Georgia. Early signing period this week. We'll get to all of that coming up.
Falcon Monday, powered by Xfinity. Xfinity X1 will change the way you experience TV.